Hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope with Rodney Mathers. We're really glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. And today we're going to be talking about the rights of men and women after incarceration in regard to voting. We've got this big political season coming up, and what we're going to do is break down just where felons can vote once they've been released from incarceration. There's even a couple of states that allow felons to vote while they're incarcerated. We're going to talk about that too, but we're going to be talking about those voting rights. We're going to break it all down today and give specific information, and it's going to be coming up right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Got a comment on a show, or you've got a suggestion for a show, or you just want to tell me how you've been doing, you can catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney at yahoo.com. Drop me a line. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Remember, we're going to be talking about voting rights today. There are some states that allow voting for ex-offenders and some states that don't. We're going to break it down. And the first thing I want you to know is that the legal ability of people with felony convictions to vote, it's going to vary from state to state. Some states allow felons to vote from prison. Well, other states permanently ban felons from voting even after they're released from prison or parole or probation. That means after sentences have discharged, once you're a convicted felon in some states, you don't have the right to vote anymore. And the federal laws don't really address the issue. There's no federal law that exists on voting for ex-offenders per se. Felons voting has not been regulated by the federal government. Some argue, according to some of the things that I've been reading on the internet, that Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act can be applied to felon disenfranchisement, and that Congress has the authority to legislate felons voting or not voting in federal elections, but this has not really ever been addressed. And before we go any further, I also want to, you know, just throw this out there. Look, I am not an expert in any of this. I don't claim to be an expert. This is merely information that I have gathered on the internet, and I'm presenting it to you. Now, some of it, you know, I believe that it's accurate information, but there very well could be mistakes in this. And I just want to say that from the get-go here. You know, so in a good faith effort, I'm presenting this information to you, and I want to make it clear that I'm no kind of an expert. I'm not an attorney. Like I always tell everybody, I'm not an attorney, a doctor, or an astronaut. So, okay, here we go. Now, the first thing I want to do is I want to go through a list of states where after you have discharged your sentence, you can vote. Okay? Now, here's the way it works. Once your supervision is complete, and I use that word supervision, that means incarceration and or parole or probation. Once that's done, these states do allow their ex-offenders to vote. Now, I'm going to read through this list. Listen for your state. Alaska, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Connecticut, the District of Columbia, Georgia, Hawaii, Idaho, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, Montana, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, North Carolina, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Carolina, South Dakota, my state, Texas, which is entirely contributed to a man who had been in prison in Texas, Mr. Ray Hill. And those of you that are regular listeners to the show know that the legislature in Texas passed a law called the Ray Hill Bill, which allows ex-offenders to vote once their sentences have discharged in Texas. And we had Ray Hill on the show. So just a quick kudos to my friend Ray Hill. Utah, Wisconsin, Vermont, and West Virginia. Now, these are the states where once your sentence is completely discharged, that means that your time served in the penal institution and or your parole or probation has expired, that you have totally discharged your sentence, these states allow their citizens to participate in elections. Now, there are actually two states where you can vote from prison. And let's just mention those real quick, Maine and Vermont. In those two states, incarcerated individuals are allowed to continue to vote while they're incarcerated. Okay. Now, when we come back, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the states where people are not allowed to vote once their sentences have discharged. And I'm going to go through those states when we come back, and we're also going to talk about how there is a way to get your right back, and we're going to talk about the process that you have to go through. It involves filling out paperwork and petitioning the governor's office, and we'll be talking about that right after this. My name is Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Are you being constructive with your downtime? I hope that you are. I'm trying to be. One of the things that I've done is I've taken up playing a little music. I like to play a little bass guitar and a little guitar, and I'm by no means any good at it, but it is a cool way to spend the downtime that I do have. And one of the things that's really helped me get a little bit better at it is something I want to tell you about. It's called the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. The Jam Buddy Chord Chart uses something called the Nashville Numbering System. Now, what this does is, if you know some chords, it enables you to play songs in different keys. And it makes it easier for you to play with other people when you learn this system. And this is a really cool little thing. And the way you can find one of these, and by the way, it's good for guitar, banjo, mandolin, piano, bass. The Nashville numbering system works for any instrument, and that's another thing that makes it really cool. The way you can get one of these is you can go to angiesbanjo.com. That's angiesbanjo.com, and you click on the link for the Jam Buddy chord chart, and you're going to get a free one-page sample so that you can see what I'm talking about here. It's an ebook, and it's priced really low. I think you're going to like this if you have taken up playing music in your downtime. It's the Jam Buddy chord chart. It's available at angiesbanjo.com. Go check it out. Talking today about voting, and what we're doing is we're just kind of running down where you can vote if you're a felon, and we're going to spend some time now talking about where you can't vote. But there are some things that you can do. I'm going to read this list of states here in a second. There are some things that you can do in order to try to get that vote back, and we're going to talk about those as well. But first of all, I want to run through these states. Okay, here we go. These are places where if you're convicted of a felony, you cannot vote, okay, regardless of whether your sentence is discharged or not. Here we go. And by the way, we're not going to get into a discussion on whether it's right or wrong. It's wrong. Okay, so here we go. Alabama, Arizona, Delaware, Florida, Iowa, Kentucky. Now remember, these are places where you are not allowed to vote, even though your sentence is discharged. Mississippi, Nebraska, Nevada, Tennessee, Virginia, Washington, and Wyoming. Now, what I'm going to do is take some of these states where you lose the right to vote and talk a little bit about the process. There is a process in some of these states to get re-enfranchised, and it depends on the nature of the offense and the number of times that you've been to prison. And I'm going to give you a link here in just a minute to the PDF forms to actually apply for this if you're in one of these states. But let's go through some of these. Alabama, some persons convicted of a felony may apply to have their vote restored immediately upon completion of their sentence. Those convicted of certain felony offenses such as murder, rape, incest, sexual crime against a child, or treason are not eligible ever for re-enfranchisement. Let's look at Arizona. Arizona is an automatic voting restoration upon completion of sentence and payment of all fines for first-time single felony offenders. Now, that doesn't say whether you had multiple counts in your indictments, so that would be something to look into in Arizona. Second-time felony offenses may apply for restoration with the county in which they were convicted after the completion of their sentence. And once again, in just a minute, I'm going to give you a link to all of these forms, and they'll be in PDF form. In Delaware, persons convicted of a felony must wait 5 years after completion of their sentence to automatically regain the ability to vote. So after 5 years in Delaware, even though you've been disenfranchised because of the conviction, it appears, according to what I'm reading here, that your right is automatically restored after 5 years of the discharge of your sentence. Persons convicted of some violent felony, such as murder, manslaughter, and sex offenses, must seek a formal pardon from the governor, and I have those forms. And once again, they'll be in PDF, and I'll give you the link here in a little bit. In Florida, on March the 9th, 2011, the Florida rules of executive clemency were toughened. Automatic restoration of civil rights and the ability to vote are no longer granted for any offense. Wow. All individuals convicted of any felony will now have to apply for executive clemency after a five-year waiting period. Individuals who are convicted or who have previously been convicted of certain felonies such as murder, assault, child abuse, drug trafficking, arson, are subject to a 7-year waiting period and a clemency board hearing to determine whether or not the ability to vote will be restored. And I'll tell you what, if you're one of the people that falls into that category, you know what, and you've met the 7-year period or whatever it's going to be, I'd go for it, man. I would try to get my right back. Prior to the March the 9th, 2011 rule change, some individuals convicted of nonviolent felonies were re-enfranchised automatically by the clemency board upon completion of their full sentence, including payments of fines and fees. So that's something to keep in mind as well. Iowa, let's move on to Iowa. In January of 2011, the Republican governor of Iowa, Terry Branstad, issued what is called Executive Order 70, rescinding a law allowing people convicted of felonies to automatically have their ability to vote restored after completing their sentence. The automatic voting restoration law that had been instituted by the former Democratic governor, Tom Vilsack's signing of Executive Order 42 in 2005. Felons in Iowa must now pay all outstanding monetary obligations to the court in addition to completing their sentences and a period of parole or probation. People convicted of a felony may then apply for restoration for the ability to vote. Now, you know, if you're on parole right now or on probation, you need to be paying your fines anyway. But what they're saying here is if you pay those fines, all you have to do is apply. And I'm not saying that this is any kind of, I mean, I don't really know if it's, but it sounds like if you apply, they'll give you your right back, but you got to go through the process of applying. And once again, I have the PDF form here on this site that I'm reading off of right now, and I'm going to give you the link for that here in a second. Let's move on down. Let's see. Let's see if they've got a couple of more of these on here. Let's look at Kentucky. The ability to vote can be restored only when the governor approves an application for an executive pardon from the individual convicted of a felony after completion of their sentence. Kentucky looks like they're going to be tough, but once again, we have the form here. Mississippi, persons convicted of a felony are barred from voting only if they have been convicted of one or more of the following 21 specific felony crimes in alphabetical order. Here we go. Armed robbery, arson, bigamy, bribery, carjacking, embezzlement, extortion, felony bad check, felony shoplifting, forgery, larceny, murder, obtaining money or goods under false pretense, perjury, rape, receiving stolen property, robbery, statutory rape, theft, timber larceny, and unlawful taking of a vehicle. Well, my God, is there anything left? Individuals convicted of felonies other than the 21 listed above may vote while they are incarcerated, even while they are incarcerated. Well, my gripe on this one is, which felonies did they leave out? It doesn't look like any. Back to Mississippi, to regain the ability to vote, an individual, after completion of his or her sentence, must go to his or her state representative and convince them to personally author a bill reenfranchising the individual. Both houses of the legislature must pass the bill. Reenfranchisement can also be granted directly by the governor. Wow, sounds like we need a change in policy there in Mississippi. Nebraska, persons convicted of a felony are automatically permitted to vote 2 years after completion of their sentence for all conviction except treason. So even though we listed Nebraska as a state where you lose your right to vote, it does seem to go back after 2 years that you automatically get it. Nevada, the vote is automatically restored to all persons convicted of nonviolent felonies after the sentence completion. Persons convicted of a violent felony and all second-time felony offenders, whether violent or nonviolent, are not automatically reenfranchised. Those individuals must seek restoration of their voting abilities in the court for which they were convicted. And the other states are listed here. There's only a couple of more, but we're getting close on time. And listen, if you're in one of these states that takes that right away, and these are the states that we've just been going through, I'm going to give you a link here at the end of the show where you can go to this webpage and the PDF forms are there to apply for that reenfranchisement. So we're going to talk in just a second about, check this out. Did you know that there are some states that if you are jailed for a misdemeanor, you're going to temporarily lose your right to vote? We're going to talk about that right after this. My name is Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey to Vote. Welcome back. There were only a couple of these states left, and that we had listed as taking your right to vote away and the process of maybe being able to get it back. I wanted to very quickly go through those. There's just two or three of them here. Tennessee, all persons convicted of a felony since 1981, except for some serious felonies such as murder, rape, treason, and voter fraud, may apply to the Board of Probation and Parole for voting restoration upon completion of their sentence. I have the PDF on this website up here. I'm going to be giving you that address here in a second. Virginia, individuals convicted of most felonies may apply for a gubernatorial restoration of voting ability 3 years after completion of their sentence. People convicted of violent felonies, drug sales, and electoral offenses must wait 5 years. That is in Virginia. Okay, and here's the final one. Washington, on October the 7th, 2010, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, in a full 11-judge bench hearing, decided that they reversed a decision from a January 5th, 2010 case and ruled 11-0 that Washington's felon disenfranchisement law did not violate the Voting Rights Act. In Washington, a felon's disenfranchisement is upheld, they say, by Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, and that they said that they do have the right to take that away. So it must have been challenged there. And once again, you have to apply in the state of Washington in order to get your right restored. The PDF is available. The forms are available. And I'm going to provide that link. Okay, now these are the states, kind of continued from the last segment, that where some kind of hitch is thrown at you when you get out of prison. And in a lot of these cases, you've got to apply in order to get your vote back. And it looks like in some of these states, it's harder than others, but it's certainly worth the effort, I would say. And there are even situations in some states, as I promised before the break, where you might even run into problems if you've got a misdemeanor, and I wanted to tell you a little bit about that. This is as of April 8th, 2010. Anyone convicted of a misdemeanor in the District of Columbia, Idaho, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Michigan, Missouri, South Carolina, and South Dakota may not vote while incarcerated. In Iowa, only persons convicted of an aggravated misdemeanor cannot vote while incarcerated. In West Virginia, persons convicted of an elections-related misdemeanor cannot vote while incarcerated. In the remaining 40 states, individuals may vote by absentee ballot while incarcerated. You know, so if you get picked up for a warrant for outstanding traffic tickets in 40 states, you're allowed to, if there's an election held while you're incarcerated in the county jail, there is provisions by absentee ballot in order for you to be able to vote. And in other states, they're going to tell you, sorry, folks, but you can't do it. In Kentucky and Missouri, additionally, they require an executive pardon before allowing people convicted of certain misdemeanors. They call them high misdemeanors in Kentucky and elections-related misdemeanors in Missouri from ever voting again. And so there you go. Misdemeanors can get you into a lot of trouble too. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to give you the link to all this. You are on the journey of hope. Most of the information that we use today came from a site called procon.org, procon.org, procon.org. Great site. The link is provided right next to the podcast. It's right above where you click to play the podcast. If you see that highlighted area, I've got it set up to where all you got to do is click on it. It'll take you straight to that site. We use several other sources today, but I thought that one was the absolute best. It's a cool site. It's procon.org. Go check it out. And it's got a lot more information than I was able to present today. Now, look, those of you that are giving your right back to vote, use it. I really encourage you to get out there and exercise your right to vote. If you didn't vote prior to your incarceration, well, you've got some reasons to vote now. You know how state laws affect people, and you of all people should know that your vote is going to count. And those of you that are fighting to get your vote back, God bless you, and I wish you the best of luck. If you want to drop me a line and let me know how that's going, I'd like to hear from you. Remember, that's at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. I would really like to know how those of you that are trying to get your right back, how that process is going, okay? We've come to the end of another show. We've got to go, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on The Journey of Hope.